Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hear my cry. My love got changed on me. I lost a job to gain a child. The road is long, but I'm losing time. Adjust my feelings to protect my soul. I search for peace in these days of old. Collect my strength to make my way to be in bloom on the cloud. Off the wall, why the girls just turn for? No birthday cake, no candles lit, just a photo of his family in his wallet. Say we pray to live, and we live to pray, thanking God for the flowers along the way.
Up in the name of our Lord and Savior, Master Farad Muhammad, the Almighty, All-Wise, True and Living God, who has come to us this day, and he's manifesting himself this day, I should say, through the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and we can see them live and live in color, and we have actionable intelligence because we can point to news about what is going on. Welcome to another edition of the Star and Crescent Report. As always, we'd like to thank you for joining us and giving us another hour of your day and another day of your time. We'd like to thank the thousands of you who listen live from around the globe and the thousands of you who will download us later from all of our affiliate sites. We won't bother to go into that right now because we don't know if they're going to kick us off the air. We don't know anything, you know, about how this devil will react to the show. We're just happy to be back on the show. But let me inform some people before we go into the main show. We do have a platform on Patreon called, and it's all one word, the Red Pill Diaries. If you really want to show support, either become a subscriber for our premium on the Hiram's 1555 blog or become a subscriber on our Patreon. That would help us out. And also go to YouTube, the Red Pill Diaries, all one word, and subscribe to our page over there. We drop videos daily. When we've been dropping a lot of stuff, I just wanted to let you know last month we did about, it was 30 days in it, we did like 20 articles, what, something like 15 articles and 5 videos or whatever for the Patreon. That is a lot for $3. That is a lot for $7. So, I mean, and you're getting the news before it comes out. I just want to let you know that truth is free, but we do need financial support from you all. We talk about hypocrites and disbelievers, but they support what they believe in. And we cannot say the same for those holier than thou, all right? Now, this show is titled Blackout, the Western World's New Reality. There is so much going on. It's amazing. I get emails and stuff and text messages and all this with people asking me to talk about the Haitian crisis, right, or what's going on in Haiti. Now, when I talk about world events, people get mad and tell me to come within the borders of America. And when I get ready to talk about within the borders of America, people tell me, hey, talk about this event over here and talk about that event over there. We're going to touch all that. But this week, I don't know what day it is. I don't know if it'll be Thursday, Friday, or Saturday or something like that. We're going to have a live show on the YouTube, on the Red Pill Diaries. And I think Brother Rashid will be joining me there. And maybe Brother Gerald will get on and talk to. We'll be talking about a host of issues. And you'll be able to see us talk and just kick it and give you the truth. So join us over there. Now, again, the Western world's new reality is a blackout. Everything that they have tried to do has failed. I'm not going to touch too much on this Haitian thing right now. Maybe we'll get into it more in a premium article on the Patreon, and maybe we'll get into it a little bit on the Red Pill Diaries that's going to broadcast on YouTube. But I will say this. Isn't it ironic that the president, who had really lost his legitimacy, and the people were ready to oust him over years, over months and months and months, and he had the backing of the United States, then he lost the backing of the United States, and the prime minister of Haiti, or the acting prime minister, and the little crew around them, they were trained by America at some of America's military camps. And I would also say this, isn't it ironic that he was assassinated, and immediately there's a power vacuum in Haiti between the vice president or the Senate president and the acting prime minister, right? And both of them are competing for the power. And immediately the acting prime minister declared that he needed UN and U.S. troops to come in. Isn't that amazing? And at the same time, this is not in a vacuum. Like I said, I'm not going to go deep into it. I'm going to touch on it, and then we're going to get to these other points. But it is not ironic that immediately thereafter that we see that there were mass protests in Cuba. Isn't that funny? This has to do with drugs, and it also has to do with natural resources, and it also has to do with pushing Russia out of the Western Hemisphere. And maybe we'll go into it deeper later, or maybe not, but we got to get to some stuff here because there's so much going on right here and right now, okay? But these things did not happen coincidentally, and they did not happen in a vacuum. Always remember that. So, again, the show is titled Blackout, the Western World's New Reality. And as I was saying to you all, that America is suffering, not just America, but England and the Western world and NATO and all of this, they are thumping their chest because they're losing everything that they held dear to them. Everything that they thought that they had control over, they're losing it. And when we look in America's borders, right, we see a disastrous picture being painted for us with massive unemployment. And the employment that they have is underpaid employment, right? Everything goes up, water, light bills. And you know this white man is a devil. You know he is. Just look at this. And this has nothing. I'm just off talking now. Because when I think about some of the stuff he does, sometimes I have to shake my head that you can't see it and that you just think that everything is lovey-dovey with this man. This man is so wicked. He's so evil. He's so greedy for wealth and profit. This man charges you for that which is free by nature to you, water. He charges you as he taps into the atmosphere to get solar energy and electrical energy and hydrothermic energy, all that. But he charges you for it. He gets it for free, and he charges you for it. And here's the kicker in the head. The man charges you for soil, for sand that you can freely pick up in the ground. And the kicker in the head is this. He charges you for air. When you need something and you're tired, you got to pay for it. Is that not the quintessential description of a hustler, a con artist? He's going to make you pay for something that he readily gets for free, and that is free by divine right. Oh, man, y'all just don't understand. That's why God is after this man. That's why God is breaking his power, and that's why God is destroying his way of living. While I'm talking, let me go to something, okay? Because I don't think we pay enough attention to this. In the Theology of Time, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was talking about, and I'm trying to read from the Theology of Time. I have other books, but, you know, he was talking about how God goes to work and breaks their power to rule, right? And he goes and he breaks their economies, right? And their trade. He breaks the trade, which breaks the economy, which breaks the currency, which puts on them massive debt. Don't we see that going on in America? And at the same time, America's being hit. I was studying the Theology of Time last night and night before last. And I just kept reading over certain parts and how the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was talking about how judgment is after America. And how God is going to take America. He's going to destroy her. He's going to go after the land, and he's going to destroy her way to make produce food. Because how evil she is, how she would fill ships up, send them out to sea and sink them so that she can artificially raise the price of food and goods in her own borders. This is something. But, I mean, I got my Theology of Time. I want to go to something. You bear with me, okay? Brothers and sisters, bear with me. Right. Here we go. In this book, The Theology of Time, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is warning you, and he's telling you to calculate, because you cannot know time without a calculation. You must measure one motion to the next motion to understand time, right? And there is a underlining, a deeper understanding of it. That's why it's called theology. The theology of time. He's giving you the secrets that was hidden from you. And now that we can open our eyes and we can see, we can definitely say that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is right and exact. Let me go to something real quick while I'm talking to you all, okay? So you guys bear with me, all right? Because I'm going to be jumping around, skipping around, because there's so much stuff that's going on, and I want to get to some clips and stuff for you all. Because we haven't had time on the air with each other. And we almost didn't have time on the air with each other this morning. I was talking, and this is a side track too. I was talking to Brother Mikhail a few days ago, and he and I were laughing, and we were talking about a few things. And we were joking about how every time this show gets ready to come on, this devil winds up cutting the power, cutting the cable, cutting the internet, cutting the phone lines. And so, Brother McCall said, "Brother, I'm still kind of amazed that he hadn't taken the phone lines down." And I said, "Well, brother, you can call my house and it'll ring on your end, but it won't ring on my end." I say, and these things happen every time it gets close to the show. And so, Mikhail, if you're out there listening, and I know you are, but check this out. We scheduled for the AT&T phone guy to come. He's supposed to show up at 10 o'clock on the 16th. 15 minutes before the show, he called and said he was down the street, he was coming. Today is not the 16th. She's checking the lines now. So there's no coincidence that this happens when I do these shows. No coincidence whatsoever. This is to block the show or to cut the show off to keep us from progressing, to keep us from going forward. Now, let's go to something. Bear with me, because I just got my book. All right, here we are. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad says this, and this is very important that you listen to this. All right? It's very important. I know some of you don't have the patience for this, but just listen to this, okay? He says, before we knew anything, God was here with us. We didn't go out looking for him. He came seeking us. Who loves the other the most? Stop right there. So some of you say, what does this have to do with the drought? What does this have to do with the collapse of the ecosystem? Because they're telling you now that there's an ecosystem collapse. I hear static in my line. I hear brothers and sisters, if one of y'all could put a hand up or something for a second, I hear static now going in the line. See what I mean? You want to show? On my end, I hear static all in my lines. Okay, thank you, brother. Thank you. All right. See? I'm messing with the line. Right on the air. On cue. But anyway, you may ask me, what does this have to do with the collapse of the ecosystem? What does this have to do with the melting permafrost? What does this have to do with climate change and what they call global warming, what they say? You must understand that we are living in the midst of a universal change. We're not in a partial change. This is a universal change. Well, now you're seeing the signs not only in America. You're not seeing the signs not only in the Western world. It's not only in the world at large. Now you can look to space and they're seeing and discovering things that they never thought they'd see or discover before. God is opening up his wisdom to them so that they can get a peep into it. He always does that before he destroys the people. You can read the Holy Quran. You can read the Bible. God always lets you peek into his wisdom, his power, before he brings you to your knees and then destroys you. But listen, with the climate change, global warming, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us that these things would take place with the rumbling of the earth beneath our feet, with the terrific drought, he said. He didn't just say drought. He said it would be a terrific drought. Ain't that something? Isn't that something? Let's see what terrific means. All right? The word terrific. Terrific means of great size, amount, or intensity, causing terror. Woo! Isn't that something? A terrific drought. What would it be? It would be of a great size or great amount or intensity. And it would be causing terror. Terror to who? Terror to those whom judgment is due. So let's go, let's read this theology of time a little bit, okay? And then we're going to play a clip to back up this stuff. I'm not just rambling on. I'm letting you know. I'm laying the base. I'm putting dots out there, and then we're going to connect them. He says, who loves the other one the most? I will search the earth, he says, until I have found him, and I will bring him again. Tell Abraham that I will go and bring them again, right here, in this same place where they left from. This is the prophecy he made to Abraham. He'll go astray, but I will go after him, and I will bring him back again. He must have that which was promised to you, Abraham, that I would give. I want to give him the earth. Strangers are ruling the earth. I want to give it to him. It's his earth. Abraham, I'm going after them. I'm going to search the whole earth until I find them. And those enemies that have them, I will bring him back and I will miserably destroy his enemies. Listen to me good. So we get an understanding here, and I'm still hearing a lot of static. I'm still hearing a lot of static on my line. But we're going to persevere, and we're going to go through it, okay? And if somehow I get cut off, somebody will raise their hand again, and I can see the screen, and I'll switch over to a cell phone, okay? But don't hang up. Don't disconnect. Pay close attention. So, he says, I will bring him back, and I will miserably destroy his enemies. He has come and found us, right? Now he wants to take you and me home again. How does he do that, Elijah Muhammad? Huh? Because if God was going to search, because he made that promise to Abraham in Genesis, that he would go and find, he'll search the earth and find that lost tribe and bring them again. And those who had ill-entreated them for 400 years, he would judge them, right? That's in your Bible. So, Muhammad says, before we knew anything, God was here with us. So he had, so that means he found us, right? So it goes further and says, he has come and found us. He wants to take you and me home again. But how does he take us home if this white man in America has such a firm grip on his ex-slave? He has a firm grip mentally, financially, emotionally, and every area of our lives. He has a very firm and strong grip on us as a whole, as a people here in America. So how does he break that? What are you attracted to mostly in America? Sport and play. What did God do? When they unleashed this virus on the people, what happened? The sports were canceled, right? The play was canceled. More people was trying to find out about the news than was trying to find out about the Kardashians, right? So listen, he says, he has come and found us. Now he wants to take you and me home again. And Elijah Muhammad tells you how he does this. By going to war with the enemy. Now, if you don't believe that America's at war, you can hear our people. They always say it. They always say it. America has been at war almost every year she's been in existence. Right? You know that. So, excuse me. So what does the word war mean? According to the dictionary, it is a noun, and it can also be a verb. But it's a noun. It says a state of armed conflict between different nations or states or different groups within a nation or state. Engaged in war, conflict, warfare, combat, fighting, struggle, fight, battle, right? So we know now that God is going to wage a armed conflict against these states and these groups, right, to free us. Because of the definition of it. But will he use nuclear bombs? Maybe. Right? Will he use machine guns? Nope. What is the armed forces and the armament that God uses against these people? The forces of nature, right? Is that not right? That is correct. He goes and says, by going to war with the enemy, in order to get the prodigal son, that's you and I, to thinking of a home, he went to work on the land that he was in. In that land, the book says, the great famine arose and the poor boy became and won't stop right there. Mm-hmm. Have you been reading the headlines of how all of these farmers are going belly up, they're bankrupt? They have to choose between killing the cows or feeding the cows. And if they kill the cows, farms that's been up for 100 years go belly up. If they feed the cows, farms that's been around for 100 years go belly up, bankrupt. Either or, they are caught in a catch-22. It has become so bad that the farmers have been eating their own grain and stocks that they would feed cattle. Google this stuff. I'm not making this up. The bankruptcies among farmers in America have skyrocketed. And not only that, it says right here by NPR, I just pulled this up just on a whim, just talking to you, the latest article, right, is July, I'm just reading the July 2nd, 2021 article. The headline is this, Mental Health. And it says, the title of it is, the devastating drought across the West could mean an increase in farmer suicides. Now, we know that the farmers are the ones who supply the food to the stores that supply the food to the consumer, right? It says, let's read together because this is the first time I'm reading it with you. Across the West, drought conditions are the worst they've been in nearly two decades. The dry weather is hitting farmers and ranchers particularly hard who need water for their crops and livestock. But it's not just their bottom line that's being threatened. The effect of drought and climate change, see? These are the weapons that God uses to go to war against his enemies, right? The effect of drought and climate change on agricultural workers' mental health is increasingly concerning. concerning health care providers, right? So it says, so I'm going to stop right there because it's something I want to get to, all right? So now when we look at that, we see a whole system in crisis, right? Do you know down there's water wars between states now because water is becoming crucial? One foot on the land, one foot off the land, right? Isn't that what the scripture tells you that angel did? Right? Aren't we watching that? We're looking at pestilence and we're looking at all of this stuff that is coming upon America and the world at large. But I want you to hear what the white man has to say about this disastrous drought. But remember, while you listen to this clip, never forget what Elijah Muhammad says. Right? He says, what? He has come and found us. He wants to take you and me home again by going to war with the enemy. And we understand the meaning of war is an armed conflict between nations or states or different groups within a nation or state or engaged in war, right? So once we get that understanding, we can really look and see that these droughts and these earthquakes, these mudslides, these hailstorms, these snowstorms, these terrific weather, either all hot or cold, are all weapons that America's air defense systems, her F-22s and F-35s, have no defenses against. The tornadoes, the hurricanes. They cannot defend against something as powerful as the weapons that God uses in the last days in the resurrection of his people. Okay? So it says, in order to get the prodigal son to thinking of a home. See, all we think about is what we're going to do here with America. I hear you Muslims be talking about, well, you know, 15 years from now, I'm going to do this, and 20 years from now, I'm going to do this. You cannot even see that America will not be here in 20 years from now. Not in this state. Because you have not calculated time properly. So you still, even though you acknowledge Elijah Muhammad as the messenger of God, and even though you say you love his teachings, you have yet to be able to calculate time. So that puts you at a disadvantage. So you still believing in the white man power that he'll exist 20 years from now. You still believing in the white man propaganda that he is going to build this and build that 50 years down the line. You still believing in everything that you said you denounced when you came under Elijah Muhammad's teachings, and yet you don't know it because you are brainwashed Eurocentrically. But listen what Elijah Muhammad says. In order to get the prodigal son to thinking of a home, what did Elijah Muhammad say God had to do? He went to work on the land that he was in. How did he go to work? Earthquakes, tremors, mudslides, avalanches, hurricanes, hailstorms, flash flooding, lightning storms. All of these things are taking place. Terrific drought, heat waves. These are the armed forces of God. And he says, he went to work on the land that he was in. In that land, what land? The land that the prodigal son or God's elect who was dead, those dry bones, will remain captive in. God went to work on that land. The book says, a great famine arose, and the poor boy became in want. See, that's the only way he stops thinking about what his master has. That's the only, when he stops doing videos flashing $100,000. When he stops talking about buying a Maybach. When he stops talking to all this foolishness. When hunger strikes you. Boy, I'm telling you, it's something else. And ain't nothing like hunger striking your children. And it'll get you from all of this foolishness, focused on all of this stuff that does not matter, to the preservation of your life and the lives of the black nation. So he has to do drastic things and bring drastic plagues on the land to get you to buck up against the man who you love. And that man is your enemy. So listen what he says. He says, he couldn't get a job. Well, what does that have to do with the forces of nature? Have y'all seen what's going on with the shipping? The shipping part, all the trouble that's going on, they don't have enough shipping containers, and then the containers that they have, they can't put enough goods in them, and everything is stagnant. What did Elijah Muhammad say? He goes to work to break the white man's power. How does he do it? Through his faith, right? Right? This is geopolitical. This is economic. These are Elijah Muhammad's teachings. And they're live and living color. Remember what the scripture says. Before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, I will send you Elijah, and he shall prepare the way before me. Right? So, they're telling you that they've never seen the debt levels this high. They've never seen unemployment like this. They've never seen poverty like this. They've never seen hunger like this. They've never seen the threat of war like this. They've never seen civil disobedience and dissatisfaction like this. Isn't that dreadful? But that was not to come until Elijah paved the way for God. But you don't calculate this stuff. Before the coming of the great and dreadful day, it used two words to describe how bad this day would be for the disbelievers and the hypocrites, and how great it would be for those of you who stood steadfast to the words of the last and the greatest of the messengers of God, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. Because it would be a great day for you, because you would be vindicated. But it would be a great and dreadful day for them, because they would be chastised, exposed, and destroyed. So God goes to work on the economy, right? He breaks their power. Is that not right? All of this is hand in hand. All of this together. And then he says this. I'm gonna flip back some more in the theology of time, and then we're going to play these clips, because I want you to see how this is connected. The freight trains and the shipping lanes and the droughts and all of this stuff. And then I got a kicker for you. I'm going to play a video that I started not to download. I changed it to audio, and it's about 10 minutes long. And I'm going to play it for you all, because it's something that is something so minute in your eyes, but it has global ramifications, and they say so in the video, okay? But I'm going to play this thing about the drought first. But I got to read this along with what I just told you about how God goes to work, how he breaks their trade, how he breaks the... If he breaks the trade, they compile debt, right? They have deficit spending, right? Is that not right? So they're constantly in the red. They're never out of the red. They're constantly in the red. And they're constantly seeking to snatch them. That's just like a thug on the street. Do you notice thugs, people that have no good intentions and people that have no good morals or good ethics, how they all stand around the streets and they plot on how to take something that they didn't get, they didn't work for, and they're willing to do anything to get it, to preserve their lives or for them to enjoy life better. Is that all right? And they will even kill you over your money, over your paycheck. Right? That's what America's doing. She's running roughshod across the world doing that. That's thuggery. Right? But Elijah Muhammad says, my friends, there is a lot of trouble on its way to America, and I don't want you to be the loser. America, her friends are going away from her and have become her enemies. Is that not right? They're saying that the alliance, the NATO alliance, even though they try to put on a unified face behind closed doors, they're bickering with each other and clawing at each other, right? And they're dissatisfied with America's leadership. So Muhammad goes further and says, they're all looking towards America with murder, not love. What did Venezuela say? It's America's hand that's doing this. What did Iran say? It's America's hand. What did Cuba say? America instigated this. What? And y'all missed this out. You go to the Highlands 1555 law. You didn't see this in Fox News. You didn't see this on CNN. You didn't see this on NBC or CBS. When all of South American nations pledged to stand by Cuba through all of this, they say this, the leaders of South and Central America say they stand with their Cuban brothers because this is a Western plot to overthrow the Cuban government. through a color revolution. You didn't see that on Fox News, did you? Those are those tin horns, right? Who hated the beast, according to the scriptures. Elijah Muhammad says, America, her friends are going away from her and have become enemies. Look at what Dundun is doing over there in Moldova. Look at, see, this is why I tell you, you got to be very astute to what's going on politically and geopolitically, because Elijah Muhammad talks on these things. He's trying to give you a universal perspective of what's going on, not from your block or your city or your state or your country. It's universal, because what we need is a universal eyesight, a universal view, because everything that is taking place is for a universal change. You understand? So he says, they're all looking towards America with murder. Let's go and take her. Just like the Bible teaches you there in Ezekiel. Let us go up and rise up and take hold of her. Take her at noonday. Anytime that she's not expecting us. This is what they're talking about. So, this is why you see them arming themselves to the teeth. This is what Elijah Muhammad is talking about. You just never understood it. Because it wasn't time for you to understand it. Now we're in the day, we're in the last years of America. We're in the last years of Caucasian rule. We're in the last fumes of Yaqub's rule. And now you're supposed to understand this stuff. But we described how the nations are going against her. We described her deficit spending. We described the droughts and all the stuff that's taking place with America. Now I want you to listen to this clip, okay? Be patient. Listen to it. We haven't had a lot of time with each other. Give your brother time, and we'll go through this. I hope they don't mess with the clips, because I got a treat for y'all, like I said, later on with this 10-minute clip. Y'all, most of y'all won't sit there and be patient and listen to the 10-minute clip, but I'm going to play it anyhow, because it's something very, very important in that 10-minute clip later on, okay? So listen to this short 5-minute clip here.
After 2 years of dry conditions, both California and Nevada are now 100% in drought. And with dire conditions, rapidly decreasing snowpack and low reservoir levels, concern for wildfire season is growing. That's a direct quote from drought.gov, yet almost everyone is ignoring a situation that could very well shock both the economy and the American consumer. After seeing this Zero Hedge article posted a couple days ago, I was convinced that this story was more about fear-mongering than anything else. But upon further research, it seems to me that the American media is ignoring a massive problem developing in the West and Midwest. In today's video, we explore the facts behind this growing concern, a serious drought in the United States, not seen since the Great Depression and Dust Bowl, is set to cause a shocking food shortage and shake up the already unstable economy. As of the making of this video, a large portion of the American West is under D4 conditions. Making matters worse is the fact that these conditions have spread out to the Midwest, to an area known as the Corn Belt. Iowa, for an example, has been in a state of drought for quite some time, with 8% of the state categorized as being in a severe drought, while 64% currently suffers from abnormally dry conditions or worse. This unusual severe dry spell unfolding throughout the American West has made lawmakers and others involved in the agricultural industry extremely worried. State water managers and lawmakers brought the issue before Congress, reminding congressmen and women that 90% of the West is now experiencing drought conditions, according to the U.S. Drought Monitor. As the issue becomes more and more apparent, news reports like this are becoming more and more common.
Now to the bone-dry conditions up and down the West Coast tonight, and the fears that an already bad drought could get even worse once the summer heat truly takes hold. The drought's impact clear in places like Folsom Lake, California, critical to the state's water supply. Officials tonight sounding the alarm about the effects of climate change and the new normal that might come with it.
The impact of this on commodities could be severe. With inflation concerns and pent-up demand already causing food prices and commodities to soar, this added perfect storm is not going to help. Take, for an example, corn, America's biggest cash crop. Corn prices have risen roughly 50% in 2021, and a bushel now costs more than twice than what it did just 1 year ago. With this commodity climbing rapidly to record highs, Americans can now expect to pay more for all kinds of items, including gasoline. Corn is a major ingredient in creating things like tortilla chips, chicken wings, bourbon, and even Coca-Cola. These types of price hikes can also cause a severe ripple effect to other related products like fertilizer and farm equipment. Food companies that raise prices influence other suppliers to do the same. Their actions justified by this inflationary environment. This cycle can get out of control rather quickly, with prices rising rapidly in an inflationary loop. On top of all this, we have a ton of investment money being injected into the commodity markets in an attempt by institutional investors to offset inflation risk in their portfolios. Open interest in agricultural commodity futures rose to record highs recently, indicating that traders are worried and betting on even bigger price hikes. The situation is quickly getting out of hand, and as always, politicians are slow to respond. Take a listen to this PBS News report.
Reservoirs that store water for millions are below normal and are projected to hit historic lows soon. This month, California's governor, Democrat Gavin Newsom, expanded drought state of emergencies to 41 of his state's 58 counties, affecting one-third of the state.
Let me just state unequivocally, guys, it's really bad.
In Utah, Republican Governor Spencer Cox declared a statewide drought emergency and has asked all residents to conserve water. Lake Mead, which is created by the Hoover Dam, is the largest reservoir in America, and it's getting so low it could trigger a first-ever federal shortage declaration, which could limit water for millions. For those who've been studying climate change in the West, this has been brewing for years.
Where all of this is headed, nobody knows, but with a multitude of factors colliding in a perfect inflationary storm, this potential disaster has a chance to make a bad situation even worse. Looking closer at the epicenter in California, you can easily see why citizens are worried. Not too long ago, dry conditions made for a disastrous wildfire season, with massive devastation causing over $12 billion in damage, 9,639 fires engulfing over 4.3 million acres. 2021 is even drier, and unless some much-needed rain changes the situation, this year could be a lot worse. Thank you guys for watching, and as always, please make sure you hit that subscribe button if you enjoyed the content.
So, we see that there's a crisis of a magnitude that you have never thought about. Elijah Muhammad was warning you these things. See, a lot of you don't know that. When he gave us instructions on how to eat to live, some of you thought that, he was just talking about longer life, which that was part of the process. But he was also preparing us for a day where we might not be able to eat nothing but one meal a day or once every 2 days or something like that. And we would be prepared for that because he could see further down the wheel of time than we could. And so he was preparing us because he knew that it was going to get ugly. Very ugly. And now they are saying, and it's not just here in America, this is globally, I'm telling you. As a matter of fact, one headline in the news, and this is from VOA News, and the headline is, famine stalks millions as acute hunger crisis rises globally. Now, that's what we told you, there will be a worldwide or a global famine. This is what's going on. And all of this is to break the power of white people, whether you know this or not, because they are unnatural people on this planet, and they have caused bloodshed, trouble, turmoil, division, and dissatisfaction, and depression, as far as the eye can see. And so, being unnatural to this environment, the natural environment under the order of God is now starting to attack that unnatural thing that's in this environment. Because if it doesn't, both die, according to science. So the natural realm is attacking the unnatural realm now to remove it from the face of the planet so that we can live naturally and in peace and make progress. This is what heaven is about. This is what you're watching with the earthquakes and the avalanches and the mudslides and the terrific droughts, right? All of this is to free you. It is to break the hand of this man who has dominated the world. That's what we're seeing all around the world. And why this? People are getting dissatisfied with his leadership. They're getting dissatisfied with him always butting into other people's business. And now, without the pocket of the strings of the purse, because, when the dollar was worth something, excuse me, she could just bribe corrupt people all the time, and she could hold all the governments in check. But now the dominoes are starting to fall, and she's looking nervous. So you see over in Afghanistan looking nervous. The Taliban announced that they had control, and I told people that a while ago. The Taliban announced that they had roughly control of the country, 80 to 90%. Now, if that is the case, then why America go over there to overthrow them? She wasted trillions of dollars because they controlled that exact amount of land before 9/11. So what was the purpose? They were trying to get a foothold in Central Asia to prevent the breakout capacity of the BRICS or the Asian nations. They wanted to control the natural resources, the untapped natural resources. Look at what's going on in Myanmar, or what they call it now, Myanmar. It was Burma. Look at what's going on. Look at all the pressure that America throws on North Korea. Look at all the nations that she's attacking and that she's putting under pressure. Look at the assassination of the president of Haiti. It comes as no coincidence that all of these nations are strategically located, and all of these nations have massive untapped mineral resources and oil and natural gas resources. And it comes as no surprise that America, if she could dominate those spaces, she could maintain her grip globally over world trade. She can make sure that her dollar is cemented as the global currency. So she's fighting like hell to stay on that horse that she's on. But God is knocking off her. You see, that's what's going on. And while she's stretched everywhere, there's an old saying, right? He who defends everywhere defends nothing, because you leave yourself exposed at home. And look at the toll that the drought is taking on people. They're farmers, the people, the bread makers of the nation are contemplating mass suicide, all the while the farms are going belly up, bankrupt, right? And then we come to this right here. Let me play this short. This is about two. This goes hand in hand with what we're talking about.
Extreme drought is also hitting Utah farmers hard. Some farmers say they're having to walk away from fields of crops just to get through this dry year.
Yeah, our team coverage continues tonight with News Specialist Mike Anderson. He talked with some farmers in Weber County who say they're seeing their driest year ever. Mike?
Yeah, you know, Mike, that's not hyperbole either. Many farmers telling me that this is by far the worst season that they've seen ever, and many crops like this alfalfa field here having to be left behind in order to save other crops, and some farmers out here losing a lot of money.
With drastic limits placed on what little water they have.
We've all made serious choices of what fields we can water and what we can't.
Tom Favero says he and many farmers along this west side of Weber County are having to watch some crops die. People like Dean Martini.
That corn there where I can't water it, don't have the water, makes me sick to see it go to heck like that.
With limits on amount and time, he says there isn't enough flow to make it across his fields. While some of the corn is drying up, he's had to let this whole field of barley go.
That hurts, buddy. That hurts.
All after he's put the work in.
Plowing, foot fertilizer and everything on, and then see this? That makes a guy sick.
It all means less feed for his dairy. He'll have to try and buy from other farmers who also have shortened supply, driving prices up.
If we ain't going to have it, then yeah, cows are going to have to go too.
Favero, who only grows feed, says he won't have enough to go around.
We're going to be back in production at least 30% of what normal should be. And hopefully we're only at a lack of 30%. It might be closer to 50%.
While you may see lush green crops in one field, Favero says you have to consider the crops that many farmers are having to let die. Factor in those losses, the money already put in. He says many farmers will struggle to break even.
Everything's there. All expenses are there, but no income.
And all of this, of course, adding up to why Favero and other farmers pleading with homeowners to please cut back on watering. You know, he says that some of the canals around here, he's seeing water levels right now that they'd normally see around October, guys.
Yeah, you certainly feel for him. Mike, thank you.
So you see how bad it is. And it's something that they said in the beginning of this clip. I'm going to play it back for you. And this is to let you know where we are in time. And it's amazing that they played this because I looked down, my page is turned on the theology of time. And it's something I want to address up in there. So I want you to listen to this first part of this clip again, okay? And then I'll cut it short when they say what I need you to hear.
Extreme drought is also hitting Utah farmers hard. Some farmers say they're having to walk away from fields of crops just to get through this dry year.
Yeah, our team coverage continues tonight with News Specialist Mike Anderson. He talked with some farmers in Weber County who say they're seeing their driest year ever. Mike?
Right there. The driest year ever. What does the scripture tell you? Before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, I'll send you Elijah. So we can calculate now because we see this is the worst economic climate that they've ever had, the worst political climate that they've ever had domestically and internationally. Look at the relations between America and Russia. Look at the relations between Europe and Russia. Look at the relations between America and China. Look at the relations between Europe and China. This is the worst economics that they've ever faced, the worst political climate that we've ever faced, the worst geopolitical climate, the worst trade climate, the worst currency climate that they've ever, and now it's farming. Before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, I will send you Elijah. Well, we're seeing this great and dreadful day right here in real time. We have actionable intelligence to say that we are seeing it in real time. Therefore, now we must go back a little bit and say, well, if that great and dreadful day is now, it was supposed to be preceded by Elijah. And then we go and look at and study the movements of that man and study the history of the man and study the teachings of the man. And then we can calculate fully and correctly that he is the last and the greatest messenger of God. No doubt about it. And so you say, well, why are you saying these things? Why are you bringing up the economics? Why are you bringing up the military? Why are you bringing up the political? Why are you bringing up the agriculture part? Elijah Muhammad says, at last, there arose a famine in the land to make the prodigal son come to himself. A famine arose here. The famine became so forceful. That means it was going to be terrific. It was going to be dreadful before the coming of the great and dreadful day. Right. It says that it took the bread and all the money he had away from the prodigal son. Stop right there. Let's listen to that first part of that clip again, okay?
Extreme drought is also hitting Utah farmers hard. Some farmers say they're having to walk away from fields of crops just to get through this dry year.
Yeah, our team coverage continues tonight with News Specialist Mike Anderson. He talked with some farmers in Weber County who say they're seeing their driest year ever. Mike?
Yeah, you know, Mike, that's not hyperbole either. Many farmers telling me that this is by far the worst season that they've seen ever, and many crops like this alfalfa field here having to be left behind in order to save other crops, and some farmers out here losing a lot of money.
Boom. What did it say? The famine became so forceful that it took the bread and all the money. What's happening to the farms? What is happening to the farmers? What is happening to the plants, the crops? What's happening to the cattle? Huh? It took the bread and all the money he had away from the prodigal son. See, he had to start taking stuff back from you now. The little stuff he did to pacify you so you wouldn't rise up and see who he was. God breaks that crutch because now he's in a position as either him or me. You see? And then Elijah Muhammad says, he became in want. That's what he became in. He became in want. Right? Now, I'm going to read this last group, and I'll bring Rashid in. Okay? Now, according to the dictionary, the word want is a verb. It can be a noun also. It means have a desire to possess or do something, wish for, right? Ought, should, or need to do something. A lack or deficiency of something. A desire for something, right? So he became in want. He desired something, but he became in want. He desired to maintain his power. He desired to maintain his economy. He desired to pacify the people. He desired to Pacify the ex-slaves. He wanted things to remain the way that it once was when he dominated the world. He became in want. Why was he in want? Because God broke the handles and the levels of his power. So he goes and says, we like to talk on it. So this is what I'm doing to you. I'm talking to you on it. Right? Why, Elijah Muhammad? Why do we like to talk on it, Elijah Muhammad? We like to talk on it to show you where you are. So we're doing a mathematical calculation of time. We are measuring one motion to the next motion so that we can properly see what time it is. And we now know that it is the last days of judgment. Right? Now let me bring Brother Rashid in, then I'll finish this up. I think that's Brother Rashid. I got to say unto you, As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam, brother. How you doing today?
Brother, I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself, my good brother?
Just fine. I just wanted to a few points. There's always been the same amount of water on the planet Earth.
Mm-hmm.
So why is this particular time they're having drought to be that somebody is doing it, right?
That's right.
It ain't like the Earth and then suddenly all of a sudden stop having water. It's got to be a God that's doing that. Somebody is doing it. You know, the white man ain't hurting himself.
That's right.
Somebody got to be doing it. So what? Also, in this wicked society, right, like the men you say, the teachers should be the one that gets the most amount of money because they educate the society. Instead of
right.
a basketball player getting $100 million to throw a ball in a hole, here go the teacher, barely scraping it. It shows you that he's an upside-down man.
Mm-hmm.
The farmers are the one that feed the society, right?
That's right.
Here they are making pennies. You go out and pick your grape, all your vegetables and stuff. They migrant farm workers. Barely scraping about, but somebody that's sitting around making money off of money, they make hundreds of billions of dollars, and the people that actually do the work make pennies.
Right.
If this is not an upside-down society, then show me what is.
That's right.
Always been the same amount of money from Moses' time, water from Moses' time to now, but now they're having a terrific drought. It have to show you that the one that controls the earth is in a particular area. He's taking water away from them for a reason.
That's right.
Mama Lake.
Oh, well, Lake Salam, my good brother. That's right. Brother's telling you right. So, again, we are watching the fall of America. We are watching the breaking of American power. And some of you don't understand that the judgment is also the resurrection. And it's also the great separation. This is what I wanted you to – I caught so much flack for over a decade for teaching people because other people, they couldn't comprehend it. They didn't understand it. See, this man of sin had to be fully revealed. Elijah Muhammad taught us who this man was and is. But time had to bring him out of the darkness from under his veil that he loved to hide behind and push him out forward for the world to see. What did Iran say? What did Russia say? America's a bloodshed. She's the worst violator of human rights on the planet in the history of the world. This is what the nations are saying. Right? So she's being revealed. That man of sin is being revealed. And when you see that man of sin and you look into the depths of his evil and wickedness, that which he tried to hide for so long, and when you look at his policies and you look at where his desires are, you'll quickly want to separate from that. So Elijah Muhammad says, right, he says it right here. This is the great day of separation. So we look at the great day of judgment. We're looking at the resurrection day. But it is also the day of separation. God does this by breaking this man, breaking every level of power and every rope that he had on you to keep you bound to him. this is what's going. Matter of fact, where's my Fall of America? My Fall of America. Because if I had my Fall of America, I'll read some to you that would really open up your. Hopefully, it would open up your eyes. It would open up mine. If I knew, if somebody read it to me, it would open up mine. I'm in this theology of time at the moment, and I'm trying to I think it's on the shelf over there. Y'all got it. Excuse me, I've been doing a lot of construction work and stuff on my properties, and bro, I'm telling you, it's been backbreaking, me and my children. So a lot of stuff, even here at the house, we've replaced some stuff. So it's a lot of stuff is out of order, okay? So, but I have, when I get a chance, I'm going to get my book, and I'm going to read something to you all, because it is very important that you understand about the separation, okay, in the Fall of America. Some of you read, and you don't get a understanding. You are, as Muhammad says right here, he says, all you are looking at is the surface. That's all you look at. So you read his word and you can quote him verbatim, but there's no power in the word that you quote because you don't understand how to apply it. Mathematics is application. You take your multiplier times your multiplicand and you come up with a product. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, Islam and mathematics are two equal truths. Why? Because the both can be proven at no limit of time. Right? Application of the teachings, all right? But listen, to show you where we are, I'm going to play another little short clip, come back, we're going to rap a little bit, and then I'm going to play this thing that about the apocalypse, all right, and what it means, this little thing that you deal with every day, that you have in your homes, your cars, probably on your persons, everywhere, that you never took time to think that this little thing that seems so insignificant to your life is a key in the collapse of Western and white power universally. I'm going to play the clip shortly, but let me go back to this two-minute clip over here, so listen closely to this. Here it is.
Good evening. Millions across the West are once again suffering through excessive heat this weekend, and it is brutal. It's the fourth heat wave since Memorial Day and follows the country's hottest June on record. An all-time high temperature could be set in Las Vegas today, and places like Palm Springs, Salt Lake City, and even Glasgow, Montana are feeling temperatures in the triple digits. CBS's Lilia Luciano is beating the heat at the pool in Los Angeles. Lilia, good evening.
Good evening to you, Adriana. With those triple-digit temperatures expected in parts of California, officials here are telling people to find shade, stay hydrated, and avoid outdoor strenuous activities.
Tonight, a blistering heat wave is scorching the western U.S. The record-breaking temperatures made worse by extreme drought and exploding wildfires.
Feels like I'm walking into an oven when I walk outside.
Tens of millions are now under heat advisories and warnings. In Canada, studies show the heat may have killed over a billion sea creatures. Scientists this week warned that human-caused climate change is accelerating events like last week's 1-in-1,000-year heat wave.
It seems like we keep breaking records in terms of heat. Can we expect more of that in the future?
We expect that global warming will increase the odds and the magnitude of events such as this going forward in the coming decades.
Washington and Oregon have issued new emergency orders to protect farm workers exposed to record temperatures. The heat has killed more than 160 people in the two states. Also alarming, this summer's wildfires. Tonight, Oregon's bootleg fire is raging out of control, forcing evacuations. And California's largest wildfire this year, the Beckwith Complex, has now doubled in size. This as a drought impacts 100% of the state.
Because of that drought and the heat, California's governor is asking residents to cut back on both their water and their power usage. Adriana.
Lila Luciano, stay cool. Thank you.
So they said, since Memorial Day, they've suffered four heat waves. When have you ever heard that? Huh? When have you ever witnessed something like that? Four heat waves, and they say another one is on his way. Right? Let's go to something. I found my Father of America. But I'm not going to go into what I was going to go to. I'm following down the line that I see right now that we just heard them. Now, listen to what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says about the judgment. Listen to what he says about freeing you. Listen to what he says about the army that God has and God is going to use on America, okay? And this goes hand in hand with what you see going on they're even talking about wars, water wars. Between not just nation between nation, but states that are in a union against each other. That tells you the depths to how deep God has touched America and has touched the world. Because this and something they said in this little thing, scientists have said that the heat wave have killed over 1 billion marine life animals. This heat wave, right? I think you need to go to Revelation and start reading so that you can get an understanding of those angels and see what they were supposed to do and see what's going on here. And you'll definitely know that we are in the great and dreadful days of the Lord. Therefore, Elijah Muhammad had to come and has prepared the way by removing all the lies and all the obstacles so that we can see clearly. But listen to what it says right here. The coming of Allah in search for the black lost members of their nation today is to make himself known. How does Allah make himself known? Does he go on TV and announce, hey, I'm God? Does he go on the radio and do a radio show and say, I'm God? No. He makes himself known by making his word bond. Whatever he said he would do, it gets done. Whatever the prophet said he would do, it gets done. Right? And so we're looking at the fulfillment of that so we can see that God is no longer to come. God is present, right? He says, the coming of Allah in search for the black lost members of their nation today is to make himself known so he can conquer our captors by using weapons against which they have no power. He, Allah, will bring a tax of divine judgment of their world, not just of America. Listen to the key word. Not just of America, he, Allah, will bring a tax of divine judgment of their world. So he's not talking about a city, a state, a hemisphere, a nation. He's talking about an entire world that he's at war with. He says, without the use of contrived weapons, he don't need your F-16s and your MiGs and your Gripens. He don't need none of that. He don't need your Abrams tank. None of that. It says the weapons of war used by God in the past history of the destruction of the enemies of God, such as Noah's people, Lot's people, and Moses' people, are an example of what he will use today. The weapons are the forces of nature against which we have no defense. America is under such divine attack now. In storms as rain, hail, and earthquakes, the latter is yet to come to take place. Now, listen to what it says right here. A terrific drought is on its way to against America. The book must be fulfilled, meaning the Bible. The Bible must be fulfilled. The Bible and the Holy Quran both refer to all that I'm saying. I've said. This is what he says. This is the divine judgment to bring vicious America to her knees. Now let us see if that's happening right now. Can she dominate the air, the sea, and the land anymore like she once did? No. As a matter of fact, the Chinese expelled American warships out of the, not the Taiwan Strait, but the South China Sea, and then they went on TV and laughed. Now, this is uncharacteristically coming from the Chinese. Then they made mock of the American warship and the Americans and how they chased them out and showed videos of it. This just happened yesterday. such a great Goliath, you never thought that you would see a day when the nations would make mock of her. Right? Big and small. West Venezuela calls this the blood empire. As Iran calls it, the great Satan. And even Russia now has a hand in it. Calls her the blood shedder. I'm telling you, it's a very beautiful time to be a follower of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. I bear him witness. Now listen to this. This is a blackout. The Western world's new reality that they are waking up to, they cannot stand it. They don't like it that a non-white nation is challenging what they call the rules-based order. What rules is it based on? Well, it's based on the rules of white domination, white say-so, white exceptionalism, and white wealth. That's the rules that they're talking about that this order is based on. And if you think I'm lying, who runs the UN? And if the UN gets in its way, America, Great Britain, France, they just ignore them. Right? Because when they couldn't get a decree passed against Saddam, they bombed him in out. When they couldn't get a UN decree passed against Gaddafi, they strong-armed, they blackmailed, and then they bombed him in out. So they are unhinged from laws and rules. They believe that they are exceptional. Therefore, they are having a real hard time coming to grips with a non-white nation like China, rising to power, not to be their equal, but to be their superior. And remember, I know China and the Chinese sometimes exploit, everybody exploits the black man. Everybody. Everybody, but nobody as much as this white man. But the yellow man of Asia will be part of our lifting up. That the four different, the east, the south, the west, the north, these nations will come to help us be raised from this miry grave that we have been in for 400, nearly 500 years. So don't follow that pattern that they put on Facebook. Don't follow that pattern that they put on YouTube. Don't follow the news patterns when they demonize the people that, whether they consciously or subconsciously know it, are helping the rise of the black nation. Because it's a very hard time coming up for this white man. And he knows it. Now I'm going to play this clip here. God, dog, I just looked at the clock up here. 17 minutes left. Man, we just got on the air. I'm going to play this clip here. I have some other stuff I want to play for you. I will schedule a show. If I don't have a dentist appointment Thursday, I will schedule a show on the Star and Crescent Report. But Brother Rashid and I, we're going to do a show either Thursday, Friday, or Saturday, or Thursday and Saturday on the Red Pill Diaries on YouTube, okay? But and we'll be dropping some exclusive content and information on that, too. So you just got to pay attention. Go subscribe over there. Also, go subscribe to the... We need your financial support. Go subscribe to our Patreon. We, as I said, we dropped, it was 30 days last month. We dropped 20 articles, well, 15 articles and 5 videos. Man, $3. I mean, you get your money's worth. Go over there, help the movement, help us out. Go to the Highest 1555 blog, donate. All right, stop being nitty. You talk about the disbelievers and the hypocrites, yet they give to who they believe in, and they give to the cause that they believe in. And you know there's nobody out here, nobody, that's standing firm like this and teaching you the in-depth teachings of the messenger and proving them and declaring that anybody who think they want to be a fraud, they can leap and challenge me anytime. I ain't going nowhere. I'm not underground. I'm not going to mute you. I'm not going to try to censor you. We can do this thing anyway. I have 100% belief in Elijah Muhammad and his teachings. I have 100% belief in the God that he represents. So I know the promise is true. But I want you to listen to this, okay? And if you haven't donated, donate. Stop being nitty. Because sometimes you got to talk to black people like this, especially you, you Muslims, you self-righteous Muslims. Like the white man said, you know you don't give it nothing. You the hardest to get something from. Yeah, 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 I'll put you on Front Street. You my brother. That's what you do with family sometimes. Sometimes you have to shame them into doing right, to give zakat, or charity. But listen to this. This is something that you all deal with every day in every room of your house, in every place that you go, in every vehicle that you put that you get into, whether it's a train, a plane, an automobile, or whatever, a bike, a motorcycle, a tricycle, a big wheel, or whatever. You have to deal with this product here. And because of this drought and because of what's going on globally, rubber, R-U-B-B-E-R, right, threatens the lifeline of the entire global economy. I want you to listen to this, okay? Because you're not getting this nowhere else. But I'm going to give it to you straight up with no chaser. I'm just hoping that you can digest it. I want you to pay close attention. This is about 10 minutes. Pay close attention.
The coronavirus pandemic has sent supply chains into a tailspin. First, it was toilet paper. Then it was ketchup packets, gnomes, semiconductors. Now it's rubber.
Multiple factors are leading to a major rubber shortage around the world.
This could be getting a lot worse. We could be on the cusp of a rubber apocalypse.
To ensure an uninterrupted supply of natural rubber from the few regions of the world which grow it is a major concern of every world power, most of all the United States.
The global natural rubber market was valued at nearly...
Stop there for a minute. You see how I had to stop. I'm going to play it over again. I'm playing it for you. But you see, just in that right there, the whole global architect depends on this, right? Especially America. So if that's in jeopardy, see, that's another leg that Allah chops off the spider. That's another leg that goes off the spider. And so with that being said, the urgency of you trying to learn who you are and to try to get yourself right, we all got a lot of wrong in us. We're in the wrong environment. None of us is 100% to the law. But you've got to make efforts. You've got to make efforts. And we all try, and we fall short of the glory of God. But he is merciful if you continue to strive for it, right? But I want you to listen to this again and pay close attention to the small things in here and what this means to the world and America at large.
The coronavirus pandemic has sent supply chains into a tailspin. First, it was toilet paper. Then it was ketchup packets, gnomes, semiconductors. Now, it's rubber.
Multiple factors are leading to a major rubber shortage around the world.
This could be getting a lot worse. We could be on the cusp of a rubber apocalypse.
To ensure an uninterrupted supply of natural rubber from the few regions of the world which grow it is a major concern of every world power. Most of all, the United States.
The global natural rubber market was valued at nearly $40 billion in 2020, but
demand for rubber is really continuing to increase.
One analysis predicts the rubber market could be worth nearly $68.5 billion by 2026. Rubber is a critical raw material. Just think, anytime you're going anywhere, by car, plane, or even by foot, you're using rubber. But rubber is also used in your personal protective equipment, like gloves and masks, like the elastics that stretch behind your ears. Plus, it's used in literal rubber bands. And then there are hair ties, underwear, erasers, condoms, and more. Rubber ducks, though? Those are plastic. It's used in more than 40,000 commercial products.
You could call it a shortage. Some people are referring to it more as a supply chain disruption.
Rubber producers are working against all odds. Climate change, disease, both COVID and a destructive fungus, not to mention the fight for shipping containers. So let's break down what exactly this all means for the rubber shortage. Before the coronavirus struck, the rubber industry faced challenges. But to start, here's how rubber is made. Well, natural rubber anyway. It's kind of like how you would tap a tree for maple syrup. Certain trees can be tapped for liquid sap, also known as latex. Latex is gathered from the trees by making a cut in the bark, collecting the runny sap in cups.
By mid-morning, the workers are ready to begin their collection.
It's called the Hevea brasiliensis, and as the name suggests, is a tree that is originary of South America.
Ammonia is added to keep the sap from solidifying. Then acid is added in a process called coagulation to extract the rubber. A few hours later, the mixture goes through rollers to remove excess water. Then layers of rubber are hung over racks to dry for a couple of days before being folded into bales for processing. There are synthetic rubbers.
America's synthetic rubber problem nears a solution.
But sometimes it can't be swapped out for the real thing because of natural rubber's particular properties. Take airplane tires as an example. Gotta be 100% natural rubber. And most natural rubber doesn't come from the U.S., not even North America. In fact, most of the world's natural rubber, 90% of it, comes from Southeast Asia, Thailand, specifically the largest producer. The U.S. imported $140 million worth of natural rubber in March 2021 alone. Most of that rubber comes from independent farmers in Southeast Asia, also known as smallholders.
85% of the natural rubber that we have in the world today is produced by smallholders. So these are families that work on land that are usually 1 to 2 hectares in size. This means they have 1 to 2 soccer or football fields.
Those families of farmers are at war with diseases destroying the crops.
Fungus affecting rubber-producing plants has destroyed 10% of global supply.
But Pestilotiopsis and Neophusococcus, the trees are only like 8 feet apart, and they're all clones. So there's very little genetic diversity. So it's a bunch of identical twins for miles on end. So of course, if one gets a bad disease, they're all susceptible to it. There's no immunity. It's a desperately sensitive system.
And farmers face the impacts of climate change on their business.
Extreme weather events last year had a significant impact on that loss in production. But you know, if you've got major floods, you're going to kill your trees, you know. You've got tsunamis and typhoons, you know, again, major issues on supply.
Farmers have to be strategic about planting their crops.
You have to plant a tree, and that tree takes 4 to 7 years to mature before you can get rubber out of it. So if there's not enough careful planning and enough resources that are put into replanting, then we see what we've seen in the past years, that you have a cyclical nature in the availability of rubber. So basically, the prices are low, right? What happens is that people don't plant because it seems that there's no business case for rubber. At a certain point, demand keeps increasing up to a point where prices start picking up and people start planting rubber a lot. But that rubber doesn't come into fruition until 4 to 7 years after that. And when it comes into the market, then you have a slump in prices.
This causes rubber farmers to face unreliable income streams. That makes it hard to afford resources to fight off those diseases.
Rubber tappers are only being paid like $2 to $6 a day. You know, that's not a living wage. But there was no money left to improve the health of the plants. You know, no money left for fertilizers or for proper tree maintenance.
And then COVID-19 scrambles the supply chain even further. Now, demand for rubber is spiking. Part of the reason? Car tires.
So tires is by far the largest consumer of natural rubber. But what really matters is how much are people using tires, yeah? You know, with food deliveries and, well, not just food, but goods in general, we are using tires more and more.
Manufacturers have told CNBC that they haven't been affected yet.
Tire maker Goodyear telling CNBC, we are not currently experiencing supply limitations.
I got the semi thing already going, but how about rubber? We got enough?
Yeah, you know, Jim, the short answer is we do. We never have had a problem of getting supply of that natural rubber. So it's, you know, it's something that's always out there, a lot of speculation going on. I can never say never about something that could happen to Southeast Asian rubber trees.
That we haven't been affected by this obviously very, very difficult overall global supply chain disruption.
And now shipping containers are hard to come by.
We're hearing that rubber is increasingly hard to import for some industries. So what's the problem here? Well, it's multiple factors. A lack of shipping containers, bottleneck caused by the Suez Canal, and a recent surge in demand from end users.
Supply chains are very much at capacity at the moment during COVID. The sheer fact that because people are at home and the way the things are working, the shipment of goods has increased.
And since most rubber comes from Thailand, 15,000 miles away, the shipping delays have caused businesses to find alternative routes.
Consumers who buy direct in Southeast Asia have been utilizing air transport to bring natural rubber those 15,000 miles from Southeast Asia to the United States.
Plus, supply problems can be traced to processing plants, which are also known as OEMs, original equipment manufacturers. Some OEMs shut down due to COVID outbreaks.
Consumer element of the business, especially because of the OEMs, of course, shutting down significantly in 2020, but that's also bouncing back quite well.
Now, industrial companies are thinking about rubber innovation.
I think our goal also in the mid and long term is to continue to invest in technology, also to put in parallel other way from, you know, synthetic rubber or other ways of really coping with this, some potential disruption.
Not just companies, but the Biden administration too.
Very much into this critical material supply chain security. And it's really U.S. security. It's homeland security.
Of all critical and strategic materials, rubber is the one which presents the greatest threat to the safety of our nation.
We don't have rubber, we have no security.
Besides security, the U.S. simply also has to meet demand.
Some scientists see opportunity here. Dr. Cornish at Ohio State University is developing rubber from plants. She's still 2 to 3 years away from getting this to market.
And the goal is to make the U.S. Initially independent, you know, so that they actually have our own natural rubber supply in the States. And so we're not having to import it all from the other side of the world all the time.
Cornish and her team, both at her startup and at Ohio State, are working on sustainable solutions to growing rubber in the U.S. Turns out, rubber is harvestable from dandelions.
You took that root, you see the latex coming out of the roots there. It's something that I developed at university, where you can grow the dandelions hydroponically, cut the roots off, grow them back down, cut them off, grow them back down, cut them off, and you get a very highly productive system for rubber production.
But for the U.S. to be a real rubber player, it'll take a lot of time, commitment, and cash.
Somebody has to come up with the money to build that vertical farm. And those things are really expensive. It's like $1 billion for a 10-acre farm, vertical farm with 12 layers.
There also needs to be processing plants. And Cornish says it'll take a $40 million investment to make that first processing plant. Until rubber innovations hit the market, the U.S., and the rest of the world for that matter, will stay dependent on Southeast Asia for natural rubber.
The issue is who's going to have to bear the cost of this. And my hope is that we're not going to see the farmers paying the cost of these disruptions.
The industry has got to understand that prices are going to go up, but that for the health of the industry, they need to go up and stay up.
We really put our efforts to ensure that the farmers that are producing these commodities, that we support these farmers in their countries to be able to carry out this work in a dignified way and to ensure that they can make a decent living out of the work that they're doing to producing these commodities that are so important for keeping our standards of living in the countries where we can benefit from the wealth that we have.
Now, as I told you, the rubber is very important. Hey, would you, brothers and sisters, give me a couple more minutes? I'm looking at it's like 2 minutes left. I want to finish this point. And then I'll close out, and then we'll do a show Thursday. We'll do a live show Thursday. But I just want you to understand, in there, multiple times they said there's, of all of the strategic things, there's nothing that's more strategic and more to America, more important to America than rubber. Now let's look at something. Why would God cut off the rubber from it? Why would God stop the shipping? Why would God weaken her currency? Why would God... her economy, huh? I'm asking you these things. Why would God have her rebuffed by nations around the world? Now, remember something. I continue to tell you that it is the Asiatic nations who are the ones, Messenger Muhammad say, who will lay America low. Well, let's see. The Asiatic nations is where you have the industrial base. The Asiatic nations now have their own gold bourse. The Asiatic nations are the ones who are now trading. The Asiatic bloc is now the world's largest trade bloc with China. The Asiatic bloc are now the leaders in technology and technological innovation. As a matter of fact, China had about 5 times more patents than any nation on earth. And now here we go to the most strategic asset for American security. And America relies on who? The Asiatic nations, right? And what else is very important to America for her F-22s and her military machine? Rare earths. And Who controls 90 to 95% of all mineable rare earths? China. It is the Asiatic nations who are the ones. You understand? Elijah Muhammad was way ahead, but see, you don't process these things. You didn't look at it in a geopolitical, economic, and political standpoint. You just did like the Reverend does when he goes behind the pulpit and you read verbatim what it said and believe it on face value. When these are living teachings, they are life-giving teachings. And how the hell can a stagnant book give you life if it is not in motion? Motion is time. That's also life. Because if you look at your watch and the hands on your watch cease to move, you say, my watch is dead. Because it's not making any motion. So you can't calculate what time it is, because no hand is moving from one motion to the next. But Elijah Muhammad, he tells us, he says, know that this world's life is only sport and play and gaiety and boasting among yourselves and advising in the multiplication of wealth and children. That's what you do. You are, I mean, we are boasting. Go on YouTube. Go on, what's that thing? TikTok. I think that's what it is. TikTok. Go on Instagram. All these people living these lives, and then you got all these people being turned out to be Instagram models and doing all kind of stuff because money has become the focus. I'm gonna get my bread. I'm gonna kill this person. And the most dangerous job has become a rapper, right? You gotta flaunt. You gotta floss. You gotta do all this to show that you got the women, the big cars, and the money, and this is all losing its value. But it says, it is as rain who's causing the vegetation to grow, please the husbandman. Then it withers away so that thou seest it turning yellow. Then it becomes chaff. And in the hereafter is a severe chastisement. We're quoting the Quran. Also, forgiveness from Allah and his pleasure. And this world's life is not but a source of vanity. No disaster befalls in the earth or in yourselves, but it is in a book before we bring it into existence. Surely that is easy for Allah. And then Muhammad writes a commentary after that. After quoting that, he writes a commentary. Because he understands that right now, you focused on what I'm saying. But 15 minutes later, after the show goes on, you're going right back to that madness. And then the next time, you'll be holier than thou again, right? Y'all don't think hard of your brother. I love y'all with all my heart. If I didn't, I wouldn't be out here spending my money on the air for well over a decade. And then a decade before that, doing blogs. Just to give y'all the truth. So I can say I did my duty. But Muhammad says in his commentary, this is a sign of how the people are now. That after the world of the wicked seemingly has been successful with wasting their time in sport and play, it is classified as vegetation when it is getting rain on it and it grows and flourishes. That's what you see. You see them in the big cars that they're renting. You see them with the big stacks of money. You see them with all the women on their side, and you say, I gotta be that rapper, right? That's what you say, right? Then Muhammad says, but when the rain ceases to come, and the vegetation is exposed to the sun's heat, meaning the truth, the light, it withers away. So it is with the wicked after living a life of wickedness and carelessness and wasting his time in sport and play. Then the time of truth comes, demanding him not to waste his time in sport and play, but to do service to Allah and to self. And for the Holy Quran teaches us again and again that the heavens and the earth were not made for sport and play. You notice that our black people, listen to me good, listen good, because I want you to understand this. Please pay attention to this, because this is us to the T, okay? He says, you notice that our black people, especially here in America, all around the world have been affected by this white man, but he puts emphasis on you and I, especially here in America, have become sold to nothing in the world but sport and play. Basketball, football, baseball, hockey, whatever you want to call it, boxing, MMA, all this stuff, right? This is the way the people were of Lot and Noah. They were sold to sport and play, and they hated the teachings of those righteous prophets. And the day of their doom came unexpected to them because they did not heed their warnings. So it is today, here, 24 hours a day. Now listen to what he said, 24 hours a day, when Messenger Muhammad was on the scene, physically on the scene here, teaching us up until, you know, the time he was no longer here. There was no 24 hours shows. I remember when TV used to go out, I believe at 1 o'clock or something like that in the morning, and then dun, 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 and the flag would be waving, and then they'd be playing a patriotic song. So it was not no 24 hours a day. Radio was not 24 hours a day. Right? This is what it says. So it is here today. So he's talking about right now because we can prove it, because we can measure time, because we see the motion from when he said it to right now. 24 hours a day, they are trying to have sport and play and talk over foolish things. Look at it. ESPN, how many ESPN channels they got? How many Fox sport channels do they have? How many pay-per-view sport channels do they have? How many extra channels do they have? If you get the apps, if you get the internet apps, if you get the cable, if you get all DirecTV, all of this stuff, they come with a sports package, right? They are trying to have sport and play and talking over foolish things, spending their time in foolishness. I fear of an evil day overtaking my people here in America soon. True. The world, he didn't just say America. So he's speaking of something bigger than America. True. The world is warning you now, and you act as though the white people can help it. Remember the stuff that I just played for you. Remember the definitions I just gave to you. Remember the excerpts of the articles I just read to you and the excerpts of the book, the books from the Messenger I just read to you, talking about what's going on economically and financially and agriculturally and politically and geopolitically. Remember that stuff. He says, true, the world is warning you now, and you act as though white people can help it. But they are telling you now that unemployment keeps mounting and they can do nothing about it. Don't we see that? They are warning you that you are going to get hungry too. What did they say? The farmers are committing suicide, right? Right? They've never seen it this bad before. So if the farmers commit suicide and the farmers' farms are being taken and they're being foreclosed on, how in the hell is food going to get to the shelves? Huh? They are warning you that you are going to get hungry too. But you are not trying to take it with sincerity. I want to know how many points LeBron got last night. That you are not trying to take it with sincerity that they are telling you the truth. You are like a child who cries to his mother for bread and milk, whether there is any in the kitchen or not. See, I'm going to stop right there and I'm finish this out. It's one thing for you to be hungry for a couple of days or up to a week or 2 weeks. It's another thing to have some children or some dependents that are hungry, and it's in dad or mom, I'm hungry, and the next day go by, dad, mom, I'm hungry, and the next day go by, and then before you know it, a week goes by. Then before you know it, another week goes by. Mama says, so this is you, a big old grown child who has been nursed and fed by the white people and sheltered by them, and you think you will always have this from them. But no, sir. Remember the parable of Lazarus and the rich man. At last, the rich man died, and in his depth of poverty, how did he die? He lost his wealth, and he considered that death because he was in poverty. He was poverty-stricken. Right? And he says he came to suffer the same thing that Lazarus suffered. Haven't we suffered poverty all through America ever since we've been here? And now the white man is rioting, he's storming the Capitol because he's going through some of the same financial stuff that we've been going through since we've been here. on the shores of America. He can't take it. That's why he's trying to bluff with this chest puffing and thumping against everybody. Because he cannot take the heat. As long as the playing field is in his favor, everything's kosher. Everything is allowed. But when they turn, the tide turns to somebody else, then it's haram. Nothing is right. It's all bad. All right? So he says, but no, sir. Remember the parable of Lazarus and the rich man. At last, the rich man died, and in his death of poverty, he came to suffer the same thing that Lazarus suffered. What did he suffer? Being deprived of good homes. Some of you got good credit and can't get no home. Some of you got decent credit, and they won't give you the time of day. But they'll give these white people 20 years old, 21 years old, big houses, right? And luxury of all kinds. Some of you are barely scraping by to pay bills. And some of you can't do it. And some of you have to go to extremes to try to keep food on the table or to help your children out. Because you are deprived of all kinds of luxury. So Muhammad says, he came to suffer the same thing that Lazarus suffered, being deprived of good homes and luxury of all kinds. Listen to what he says right here. This is the kicker right here. I read all that other stuff to get to this. I like to read stuff in its entirety so that you can see what he's talking about. I don't want to take nothing out of context. He says, this will be taken in this day and time. He couldn't have been talking about it in the 70s because there was no 24-hour sports channels going on all the time. But we see them today. So now when we look at today and we see that there's sports channels everywhere, as far as I can see, there are talk channels, there are gossip channels, there are talk shows, gossip shows. And then we see the white man lashing out because there's no jobs for him. The white man's losing his job. He's storming the Capitol. He's talking about false elections, right? He's talking about the way that we used to live, the things that we once had. Mama says, this will be taken in this day and time, not yesterday, but this day. He's got to suffer what you suffered. But the righteous will flourish with whatever they please with God. Study the Holy Quran. It is full of wisdom. I bear witness to this. We're going to have a part two Thursday. Brothers and sisters, I love y'all more than life could ever express to y'all. I'm telling you this. I love my people. I love you with all my heart and all my soul. And sometimes it wears on my soul. And you know, sometimes I have to have a break or something, but I haven't been able to have a break. But I just want you to know, whether y'all donate to me, whether y'all support me or not, it doesn't matter. Because if you're against me and God is for me, it doesn't matter. It does not matter. For if God is for me, who can be against me? Right? And so I look at it like a spiritual journey, as Brother Saladin used to say when he used to talk about those great African warriors. He said, brother, they would get on their boats and they would go to their enemy shores. And once they arrived at the enemy shores, they would burn their own boats and sink them. There would be no retreat. The only way home is you got to fight your way through your enemy's territory and take it. Brothers and sisters, with an undying love and passion for the liberation, the upliftment, and the redemption of 68 million of our kind, first here in America, then the billions around the globe, know that your brother Rashid Muhammad loves you to life. You've been dead so long, but I love you to life. But the love that I have for you pales in comparison to the love that my God, my Savior, and my Redeemer, Almighty God Allah, who came in the person of one, Master Farad Muhammad, and his messenger, the last and the greatest of the messengers of God, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, and that mighty, mighty nation of Islam has for you. Until we next speak again, stay strong, stay true, but above all things, stay righteous. I love you all. As-salamu alaykum.
For information on our next show, please visit trumpetoftruth.wordpress.com and click on the Blog Talk Radio button. Until we converse again, always remember, no matter how low society may have rendered you, the wisdom of the one true God will lift you on high. May God bless and keep you. The Star and Crescent Report was created and directed by Rashid Muhammad, produced by Nicole Muhammad, and hosted by Rashid Hiram, 1555 Muhammad. Have a blessed day.
That I like the moon I miss. Day to day, the roles we play. Hope is our way.